Special Education by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
The Apostle Paul, addressing the believers in Corinth, after having spent so much time there, still had to address a lot of problems. Sometimes I think that we can be kind of like the Corinthians, in the fact that sometimes we have to learn the same old lessons again and again. I don't know about you, but I need some special education. In our day to day, there are a lot of special education teachers. I know when I was growing up, there weren't any. There was one teacher with 20-some kids, and you either got it or you didn't. Some of the things I didn't get, some of the things I was good at. It's interesting to me is that God did not call me to be someone who was good at math, necessarily, or someone who had other skills, but called me to be a preacher of the gospel. I wonder again and again why God did that. He did similarly with Moses. Moses wasn't a dumbbell. Couldn't have been, and had several million people that followed him. Moses had a speech impediment, I think. Couldn't talk well. God insisted that he would help him, but he needed to just trust him, and he would help him to do that. I've heard of individuals who had the similar problem, and when they stood in the pulpit, they were excellent speakers. When you met an ordinary conversation, though, they would have trouble talking. You know what I mean? And so I know that God gifted that individual, that God allowed them to share the truth clearly and concisely, in a way that addressed the situation. Many of the subjects that Paul had to face and try to resolve with the Corinthian church, and well, it seems to me that he didn't resolve them all with the first letter. He wrote a second letter. And because the Corinthians had so many problems, we have a lot of good instruction on what to do and what not to do. I also learn as I study through this particular book and other books that God is trying to teach us something. And what God is trying to teach us is we need to rely on Him. We need to realize that it's not us, it's Him that needs emphasized. Paul shared the gospel. Paul had many gifts. Among those were the gift of evangelism. The Apostle Paul was always about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and getting people saved. If there's anybody that would have any question or lack a question about him being an apostle, it should have been the Corinthians. They had seen him work. In fact, he described himself as someone who worked night and day, someone who was always busy, someone who always had a project. I don't know about you, but I have too many projects. Some of those projects were people. The project I have too many of are material projects. You know, people are a harder project. If I could transform people, I would do it. But I can't. But my God can and does transform people into what they ought to be instead of what they are. And what it takes on our part is to surrender to God's will. And we need to say, just as our Savior said, not my will, but thine be done. And so as I look at this chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we have come to the point where Paul uses an illustration or a word picture to describe what he's talking about. And Paul uses a very common, ordinary picture to describe our efforts spiritually. He describes our Christian life as a race. A race. Now, it's not just a dash, although some Christians try to do dashes or the sprints. Well, that was part of the Olympic Games, and Paul was fascinated by them. He liked to watch the athletes. I envision Paul as someone who couldn't do any of it. You see, the Olympic Games were nearby, called the Isthmian Games. The Corinthians knew all about the games. They knew the events, running, throwing, jumping, riding horses. And I'm sure they must have had to shoot a bow or throw a javelin. All of those things had to do with their warfare. All of those things were things that those participants did. All tried to be the best at what they were. And the best one, here's the best part. The best one would not have to work another day in his life, because he would be cared for as a celebrity. He wouldn't have to work. And so, if you were athletic, and you have those abilities to run fast, to run with patience, as in a marathon, if you have the ability to jump high and long, if you had those kind of abilities, you could enter those games. And you might even win. And if you were going to win, you would put your all into the efforts to train your body, to get it trained, disciplined, so that you could perform your best. I understand that some of those athletes burned their spleen. I haven't delved into finding out what that's all about. But I think they did that so that they wouldn't feel so much pain when they ran hard and long. I remember as a high school kid, I could jump fair from a height. The only problem was I was too short. When we come to the high jump, I was always the shortest individual in the event. But still at my height, I could still jump my height. Now, the problem was my height wasn't tall enough. If I could have been a few inches taller, I could have won the event. In my own mind. And so I practiced at home. Jumping. Now, my pit was spaded up dirt. That's not very soft to land in. They have formed new ways of jumping. They used to be the, what they call the scissors. Remember those, Gary? Some of them do the scissors. I did the barrel roll. I studied that event. How you were to go like that. It didn't take very many strides, and you had enough stride. And then it depended on how much spring you had in your legs. I'm sorry, I couldn't jump 40 inches. Some of those basketball guys can jump 44 inches. You realize that? 44 inches. That's almost 4 feet tall. Their feet are way up there. I listened to a guy one time. He said, yeah, I high jump. I high jump not in Air Jordans. I had Converse All-Star footgear. He couldn't afford those fancy jumping, but he still could jump 40 inches. That's pretty tall, pretty high. Paul said you got to be disciplined in the race of life as a believer. The problem with the Corinthians, they were not disciplined. He said, know you not that they were running the race, run all, but one receives the prize. Only one individual gets a prize. I remember getting third place at the league meet in high jump. I wasn't quite fast enough to help the guys. One of our freshmen running on the medley relay, he said, run hard. I want you to get at least third place so we'll get a medal. I guess I didn't run fast enough. You see, I think, you remember that, Gary? Did you guys run a medley?
Yeah.
With a half mile? Or, yeah. I think it was a half mile and a quarter mile.
I think we did quarter, but I don't remember.
A quarter and a 220 or something.
Yeah.
Let's see, there's got to be, yeah, something like that. Takes four guys.
Yeah, I was the first guy, and I dropped the baton before we even took off.
Oh, no.
So, obviously.
That reminds me of another race. That was back when I was in grade school. And the coach decided to change things. He said, you're really quick out of the blocks. And you can jump out there and get us a lead. The guy that we usually had, he was sent to anchor pretty fast. But he wasn't near as quick out of the blocks. And that's really key when you start a race, that you run fast. And so we got out there, and this other kid from the team that usually was our competitor, he was really nervous, and he said, are you running first? I said, yeah, I'm way faster than that kid. And so he got so nervous, they dropped the baton on the first exchange. Just saying, that's what happened. And that's what happens many times. That when you drop that baton, you lose the race most of the time. You don't have time enough to pick that baton up and catch up with everybody else. In fact, if you drop it, you're disqualified. All run to obtain a crown. running, throwing, boxing. Paul said, I run that I may obtain. Everyone that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I run not as uncertainly. Paul always kept his eye on the prize. What is the prize? In fact, Paul ran, lived his life, that is, so that others could look at him and see that he did what he said you ought to do. You ought to put others ahead of yourself. You ought to demand more from others than you demand from yourself. And so Paul did that. He worked so that he wouldn't be obligated to those he served. Was he deserving? Yeah. Could he have received from those he preached to? Yeah. But he didn't demand it. Because Paul was looking at the greater prize. Paul wanted to so live that others would see him, that he was doing what he was teaching. Now, it's quite one thing to teach something. It's quite something else to live it. And in the Christian life and race of life, we need to live what we preach. Otherwise, Paul would be concerned he might lose the prize. I think Paul ran so that he could hear this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Paul did not take many of the things that he could have took. There were others that did take those things. Sometimes, though, it's important to realize we need to keep this body under. We need to keep it disciplined. And I'm learning that lesson. When we start disciplining the body, we do with a little less. And that's what the athletes did. Would you have a second piece of pie? If you were going to run a race? Probably not. Was I offered a second piece of pie this week? Yeah. But I realized if I ate that second piece of pie, I would lose all the gain that I gained probably for 2 weeks. That wouldn't be good, would it? And if we're going to live for Christ, it's important for us to exercise discipline in our lives. Not just physical discipline, spiritual blessings, spiritual disciplines more important. What are those disciplines? Being in the Word. Amen? Praying. Being example in the things we do? You betcha. Everything we do needs to be done to honor the Lord. That's what the apostle is talking about here. I don't run uncertainly. I've got my eye ahead. I've seen runners do that too. They don't keep their eye on the prize, and pretty soon they're looking back over the shoulder and the other runner is catching up and pass it. Listen to the crowd. Be energized. Realize that we are in a race for time and eternity. There are so many things that we need to get done, and so little time to do them in. You know, as I look at our world, Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. The Middle East is a powder keg. It just is. Nobody loves Israel anymore. We're in trouble here because we have so many that don't love Israel. And we know that God has made a promise to them. The promise is this: I will give you this land if you serve me. You're my people. I will bring you back to myself. I will forgive you. I will cleanse you and make you into the people you ought to be. I'll put my word in your hearts, not in your hands. Oh, that they won't. They will have God's word. They will know it. They will know Christ even as He's known to us today. They're still looking for the promise God made to Abraham. And by the way, God's going to complete that promise one day. And the nations that are fighting against Israel today will have to capitulate and say, hey, this is your land, it's not ours. Well, everybody claims the Holy Land today. It's ours. Our ancestors came from there. Yeah, they may have come from there, but they're a long ways away from the God that made the promise. Amen? And we as a nation have come a long way from where we ought to be. We have reverted back to old ways. We have turned all of us to our own way instead of God's way. God told Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. My question is this: do you want God's blessing or do you want God's curses? You've got to be on the right side to get God's blessings. God wants us to have a heart for Him. God wants us to say, I'm going to discipline myself today because the future is brighter if I do. Not only do I discipline myself physically to get in shape, be able to run the race, but I also discipline myself spiritually so that I am prepared when I hear the trumpet sound. I'm prepared and won't have to be sorry I wasn't ready. Not that I'll be sorry that I haven't trusted Christ, because I have. But I'll be sorry because I didn't do many of the things the Lord wanted me to do. What is it God has for you to do? God has a work for us all. God speaks to us all. Our problem is we have a listening problem. And I submit today that most of our students in school have a listening problem. Amen. They won't shut their mouth long enough to listen and learn. They're all smarter than their teacher. Yeah. Even before they're in the fourth grade. And if I'm wrong, tell me. Most of them think they know more than the teacher. Because I can work on some little gadget. I wonder what happens when God shuts the gadgets off. I wonder what happens. Many of those things are just playthings. Playthings. Oh, not that all the new gadgets are just used for play. If we use them all for the Lord's work in the right way, we can go a long ways. Today I can know what's going on in Ecuador, South America. used to take a month or so for us to get news from them down there. Today, they can go send. Oh, boy, I need to pray for this need down there. That's a blessing. Because we're not praying after the fact, we're praying during the fact. But so often those things are used, not for good, but for evil. And then we have a lot of people that are evil themselves. And they will try to defraud people of their property or goods or something. We live in an age when people think little about lying, cheating, stealing. We live in an age where we need to learn the ways of God. God's ways are ways that put others above ourselves. Paul said, wake up, Corinthians. Discipline yourselves today so you're ready when the Savior comes. America needs to wake up to be ready when He comes. To delight in Him today. To share His good news. Salvation is here. It's full and free. But you know what? It'll cost you. It will cost you if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. You're a slave. Paul said, I am a slave to Christ. I give my heart, my soul, my all to Him. Whatever I do it with all my might and all my strength. We need a society that thinks like that. I'll share a quote with you. Some years back, we had a Democratic president that said this: ask not what you can, your country can do for you, but whether what you can do for your country. Anybody remember who that president was?
JFK. JFK.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy said that. And I recall the day when he was assassinated. I'm thankful he lived long enough to take care of the Bay of Pigs down in Cuba. All Democrats aren't bad. Sometimes we get too narrow. And sometimes we put pigeonhole ourselves into little places. God is bigger than that. I was upset when John Kennedy was assassinated. I thought, how can somebody shoot somebody with a rifle that is made for deer hunting? How can they do that? Life is valuable. Life is important. And yet I had in that physical education class, I think I was in the seventh grade. An eighth grader said, I'm glad he got killed. Whoa. We're way past that today. Way past that. Yeah. We've got riots. Everybody's about themselves. It's all about me. It's all about me. Jesus Christ was all about others. He gave His life for others. He didn't die for Himself. He died for us. and all that will receive his precious gift of salvation. How can he love me so? The hymn writer wrote. I don't know, but it does. He cares. And we've got to care too. Because there are people hurting and aching, and we've got to be disciplined to be there, to share and care in every way possible so that all and as many as receive him will know. I want to give my best to Jesus Christ. He's worth everything I can give. He's worth everything you can give. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your life. That's what Christ demands. That's what Christ deserves. This morning, just a few of us here. A lot of our folks are out today on vacation or various other things, reasons, some physical reasons. God calls us all to be disciplined every day, every day. And I just pray that he would help us to be so disciplined that there would be enough evidence that we are Christians that others would ask, what is that hope that you have? Why are you hopeful in a time of so much unhurtfulness, a time of so much struggle and strife and misery? Might we be able to say, the reason I have hope is one came to this earth and made it possible for me to have hope because he had hope in me. He loved me. He cares for me now every day. Help us to keep our eyes focused on the prize, our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us to look up and to live in such a way that others would see us and give us the opportunity to share the good news within us. Guide us all, Lord, and make us a blessing. We pray in Christ's name.